Especially want to just be remembering Judy. And as many of you know, she's been going through a lot, and today's been a rough day. And so as we pray today, would you especially help me in remembering Judy, but also some of the families in our church that are dealing with other issues, and some have lost family members. And just want to thank you for your prayers for Tam and myself and the passing of Tammy's mom. And your prayers make a difference. And then also keep Doug Walker in your prayers as he's in rehab right now, and could use our prayers going through that as well. So let's just bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we do pray that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. For Lord, it is so easy for us to get our eyes and our attention on the things that are happening around us that could overwhelm us. But Lord, it seems that when we get our eyes on you, that Lord, our perspective certainly changes and you bring us hope. And Lord, we just pray today that you would be with Judy. Lord, today's a rough day for her, but she's here. She wants to be in this place of worship because she loves you so much, and she knows how much you love her. And we just pray, Father, you just relieve the pain that she's in, that, Lord, you'll just give her a touch that only you could give. We know doctors and all involved with her are doing all that they know to do, but, Lord, only you can really bring the healing she needs. And so, Lord, help her today. And Lord, we pray for those that, Lord, have lost loved ones that just need the comfort of your presence. And we thank you for how you've helped Tam and myself and our family. And we thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that were prayed and are being prayed for us. And Lord, we find strength in that. We find joy in knowing that we're loved and cared for, even through the prayers of your people. And we just pray that you would just help others, Lord, who maybe the passing of a loved one has been maybe months ago, and yet, Lord, you know how deep that pain and that emptiness can be. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be near, and that, Lord, you'd just surround with your presence and your love. Lord, we do pray for Doug as he, Lord, continues to rehab. May, Lord, you give him strength for each day that he has. May, Lord, he know that he's not alone, that you're with him. Lord, we're grateful for that today. We pray that you would help us all to learn how to trust you more every single day. Lord, thank you again for your love for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know just last Sunday we began a focus on the book of Exodus and the life of Moses. And one of the things I want to just point out today is, just in case you need to know, we have exit signs right here, right? Every building like we have has exit signs. And we all know what they mean, right? Even little kids know what an exit sign basically means, even if they can't read. Because we all know that it means it's a way to get out. And as Pastor Kari began the series last Sunday on Exodus, we're reminded that the people of Israel are slaves. They are in Egypt. They are slaves of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is just making it harder and harder and harder upon those people. And finally, they cry out to God. You know, isn't it interesting in so many of our lives that God's kind of the last resort instead of the first person we turn to? You know, we go through things and we think we can get through on our own. We can deal with it. We can make it until we finally reach that point and we realize we can't make it and we need help. And the people of Israel that were now living as slaves in Egypt finally reached the point where they knew, I need help. We need help. And God, in his incredible ways, decides to use this baby who saved at a time when all baby boys were being wiped out of the Hebrew nation. And this boy named Moses is saved. And eventually there's a burning bush. Don't you like our burning bush? It's as close as we got. As close as we got. But in a burning bush, God spoke to Moses and called him to return to Egypt in order to bring out a people, to create an exit for the people out of Egypt. You've probably noticed how close the words Exodus and exit really are, and they are definitely related terms. And so the book of Exodus is all about the exit out of slavery, the exit out of this place where they were bound and limited from being the people God always intended for them to be. God wanted to give them the way out. And so he brings Moses into that picture. Well, I recognize, and maybe you as well, that there are many people in our world today who are enslaved. Now, they might not be enslaved like the people of Israel were in a nation like Egypt, and they were being forced to do this hard labor just to keep surviving. But there are people probably here this morning who need to be set free in some kind of way. People who are bound by something that they know limits them from being all that God intends for them to be. And they know that they need out. They need the exit that God can provide to set them free. And we've been singing songs about that, haven't we? Break every chain, you know? I mean, all those things that keep us from being what God wants us to be, God wants to do a special work. And my prayer this morning is that God will use the story and the account that we'll look at here today as a reminder of what God can do in our lives. For the Bible always applies to our lives in some way or another. Today, God may want to do something in your life that maybe you didn't realize, or maybe you did realize, but you've been kind of putting it off, saying, I can deal with this. I can make it. I'm okay. Don't worry. But you know in your heart that you need help. And today, we want to just remind you again that God can help you. That God has an exit for you. He has an exodus for you and for me. I'm glad for that today. Now, the challenge we have today is that, as you know, in these weeks that we've been working through Genesis and now we're into Exodus, that we're not covering every chapter and we're not covering every verse. It's a little bit broader picture than that. And so we're not going to be reading just loads of the scripture and the story, but we're going to be covering from like chapter 5 through chapter 14 in a short, condensed kind of a way. And so the first thing I want us to notice, I got four main points for you today, okay? So you know when I get to point 4, we're getting closer to the end. But four main points, and the first one has to do with noticing the attitude of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, at the time. Now, I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but if you would open them, I just want to highlight several verses here in Exodus, beginning in chapter 7, because there's a recurring theme when it comes to the attitude of Pharaoh. Beginning in verse 13 of chapter 7, it says, "Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said." So what the Lord had already told Moses is that you're going to come, you're going to say, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh's heart is going to get hard, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to get harder, and it's going to be harder and harder, to the point where he will not want to do it, but eventually he will. But he lets them know early on that that's how it's going to be. And so in verse 14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go." And now I want to just kind of skim through some of this. Verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 22. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Chapter 8, verse 15, "And when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said." Chapter 8, verse 19. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Jump over to the end of chapter 8, verse 32. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Then in 9, 7, yet his heart was unyielding. He would not let the people go. Verse 12. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. The end of chapter 9. He sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts, so Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let Israel go, just as the Lord had said. Then you jump over to chapter 10, verse 20. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not let the Israelites go. And verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Are you getting the picture yet? I think there's 12 or 13 of those verses throughout this story that just lets us know that this is the pattern of Pharaoh. It is the attitude of Pharaoh that as God spoke through Moses to let the people go, that sometimes Pharaoh would kind of maybe feel like he's giving in a little bit, but then his heart would harden. He'd say, no, no, no. I wonder how many times it takes for us to get to the point where we say no a last time to God, where the heart just keeps getting harder and harder to the point where eventually we don't even hear God anymore. There is always a potential danger of a hardened heart against the things of God. And my guess is all of us at some degree and at some time may have had a heart hardened against God because we did not want to do what he is asking us to do. We did not want to repent of sins that we had committed that we just didn't want to face. For whatever reasons, we hardened our heart. And can I just suggest here this morning that there's a huge danger when you begin the practice, the habit of saying no to God, because your heart will harden just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more when you say no to God. One of the key parts of this story is the story of Pharaoh and his heart that gets hardened against what God wants. And it's like he's taken up this thing that no one is going to tell me what to do, not even God. Have any of you ever had that attitude? No one's going to tell me what to do. You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, Pharaoh, he was the king. Nobody tells the king what to do, right? And Pharaoh was convinced he didn't need to do what God wanted him to do. He just kept saying, no, no, no. And it became the battle of the wills. Maybe I'll soften it a little bit. Anyone here ever have tendencies towards stubbornness?
Not at all.
I'm so glad. I better get going so that we... She's having a time here this morning. The thing is, when God speaks and we continue to put the hand of no to the voice of God, and it might start as just we're stubborn a little bit, but it can reach the point where it becomes the hardened heart. And that's always a dangerous place to be. The attitude of Pharaoh, this attitude of just hardness against what God wants, was a dangerous way to go. Second point I want to highlight. As you know in this story, and you may have noticed it when I was kind of skimming through some things very quickly, that there are plagues that are a part of this story. And there are 10 of them, and again, we won't have time to talk about all of them, and they seem to kind of gradually get worse and worse and worse. Here are the 10. There's the water turned to blood. There's the frogs, the gnats, the flies, the livestock, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness, and the firstborn dying. One of those should be enough, right, to get our attention. I mean, have you ever been in the summertime surrounded by gnats and flies and, you know, mosquitoes and all that kind of thing? And just, I remember the first time I ever went to this golf course, and this is when we were living in Michigan, and it was a country club. It was a really, really nice place, but apparently they didn't know how to deal with mosquitoes. And I can remember that, you know, I got to this first hole and to the green in the first hole, and all of a sudden there were just swarms of mosquitoes everywhere. And any of you who ever have golfed, you know, you're standing over your putt, but you're being swarmed by mosquitoes. It just does not work. And I couldn't wait to be done playing golf, and I like playing golf. Now, I want you to imagine something so much worse than that, and that's all these kind of plagues that just hit Egypt. And after every one, Pharaoh has an opportunity to be able to say, yes, I'll let your people go. But again, his heart hardens. Every one of those plagues is an opportunity to repent. An opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to change my mind and do what you're asking me to do. Now, I want to talk about just 4 points concerning these plagues. The point of the plagues were basically these 4 things. The first is to judge and punish the Egyptians for the Israelites' enslavement and the murder of those innocent baby boys. So there's a judgment factor in the plagues. I mean, just think about the very first one. It was interesting to me to think about the first plague, which is when the water of the Nile River is turned into blood. Do you remember what the Egyptians were told to do with those baby boys, those Hebrew baby boys? Throw them in the river, right? Let them drown in the river. And it's as if the Lord said, that blood of those babies that you threw in the river to kill is going to be coming right back at you through this plague of the water being turned to blood. The blood would be on their hands. They were responsible. So there was a punishment factor to the plagues. But there's also, the plagues were used by God to kind of break down Pharaoh's arrogant resistance and expose along the way how powerless Egypt and even their magicians were to be able to deal with God. You remember in those plagues that some of those early ones, the Egyptian magicians were able to kind of mimic that particular plague in some kind of way. But it wasn't long. It was only a couple into these plagues that they were powerless. They had nothing. And it was a reminder that the God that spoke through Moses to them was God. That those Egyptian gods that they served, those gods that they put all their faith, their trust into, were nothing compared with the God who was speaking through Moses. And so the plagues were there to be able to expose how powerless the Egyptian gods were. The plagues were also part of bringing deliverance for the people of Israel out of Egypt, because they did their work eventually to let the people go. And finally, the 4th thought here is just simply, all of this was to make known that God alone, Yahweh, is God alone. There is no other God. Those plagues should have led to repentance. As I think about that on our personal level, you know, sometimes when we're walking away from God, doing our own thing and whatever, there are consequences to how we live. And you know, a lot of those consequences really should be wake-up calls, shouldn't they, for us? Some of those consequences should be such that they kind of wake us up to, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing this because I know it's not the thing to do. I know it's wrong. I know it's just not helpful or good. And those consequences should be wake-up calls, saying, you know, maybe things need to change. Maybe I need to change. Maybe repentance needs to happen. Amen? There are always consequences to sin. They may not be as obvious all the time, but there's always a consequence to sin. And too often, like what happened even with Pharaoh, there might be moments when we kind of start giving God a little bit of attention, but then when things kind of get a little bit better, a little bit easier, then we kind of go right back to where we were. It's only a temporary repentance. It's not where we've really turned from our sin and really turned 100% to God. Let me get to the third basic part of this story. Maybe it's the most important part in many respects because it's what's known as Passover. It became a Jewish festival and reminder of how God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. It's found primarily in chapter 12, and it's part of that 10th plague, which was the plague where the firstborn would die. But the people of Israel, the Hebrews, were given a way for deliverance. They were to take a lamb. They were to take one of their lambs without defect as a sacrifice. And the blood was to be put on those door frames. And that when the death angel would come, that he would pass over that home. That home would be saved because of the blood. And there's so much symbolism in that for us, isn't there? I mean, even in the New Testament, Jesus is described as the Passover lamb. The blood slain, the lamb slain, his blood, our salvation. And I don't understand how all that works, except I know that because of what Jesus did for us, we can know that our sins are forgiven and we can be saved. Aren't you glad? The Passover. And isn't it significant that it was during Passover that Jesus was indeed taken to the cross? During that holy holiday for the Jewish people, Jesus' blood is shed for us. And every time we take those communion elements of the bread and the cup, we're reminded of the sacrifice Jesus made for us. The Hebrew people recognized that night that God had been gracious to them and saved them as they followed what he prescribed for them to do, the Passover. The fourth element in this story that we have here has to do with, I want us to notice that problems are never impossible with God. This is the part of the story where after the Passover, then God tells them to eat in a hurry. That's why it's unleavened bread. They don't have time to even let the bread, rise, with yeast and all. But we're going to be out of here. The exodus is happening. And they make their way and begin to follow that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And then all of a sudden, they're following the way that God takes them. And then they come up against the Red Sea. Do you ever feel like sometimes how God leads just doesn't make sense? And yet God has a plan. And so they're up against the Red Sea on the one side, and then, of course, Pharaoh had to change his mind again and say, I am not letting those people go. And so he gets his army together, and they begin to come. And so here are the people of Israel squeezed between a Red Sea and the army of Pharaoh. The rock and hard place deal, right? You ever feel like you're just in one of those places that you don't know if there's a way out? And you feel like just this is the end. That's where they were. But all things are possible with God. And we know the story, don't we? We know the story, but sometimes we forget that it's not just a story for the Old Testament, not just a neat story to be able to tell in children's church. It's a story that tells us how God works. That even when we're in the middle of those situations where it feels like there's no way out, God says, trust me. God says, follow me. And in this story, we know how he was able to part those seas, and they were able to go through on dry ground. That's amazing in itself, isn't it? I mean, it takes a while for ground to dry up, but God made a way to be able to have them through on dry ground. And then after they're through and they're safe, then he takes care of that army by bringing those waters right back over them. Listen to what Exodus 14, the last chapter of this story that we looked at here today. Look at some of these verses. In verse 13, Exodus 14, 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. Don't be afraid. Stand firm and watch. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. That reminds me, the church we were at before we came here, on the beam in the sanctuary, it had the verse from Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So that every time we walked in, we are always reminded of that. Be still. See what God's going to do. We don't always know what he's going to do, but just be still and trust him. Then in verse 30, it says, as he makes this way through, it says, that day the Lord saved Israel. That day the Lord saved Israel. And in verse 31, he says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. They would never forget that day, you would think. Next Sunday, we're still in Exodus, and they forgot the day. You know, it's so strange to think of how we can forget so easily and so quickly what God's done for us. How easily we can look back and think that there's some other way. God wants to do something this morning. Perhaps in someone's life that when you walked in today, you thought, well, I'll go to an hour of church and then I'll go home. I'll feel better about myself and we'll go on. But I just wonder this morning if maybe God wants to do something more. If there's maybe something that you're dealing with, and maybe no one else even knows that you are, but you're dealing with something today, and you know that you really do need help if you're honest. that God wants to give you an exit. He wants to give you a way out or a way through. You see, both of those are part of the picture. God gives them a way out, but he does it through the Red Sea. Maybe God wants to do something today. I was reminded of Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans 6, verses 11 to 14, that I hope will help us here this morning to think about this. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Hold on to that line. For sin shall no longer be your master. I wonder this morning if there are some who are being mastered by something other and someone other than God, who need to let God come to set you free. You've seen this little poster sign type thing we had up here. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to be set free today? What's it going to take to finally say, yes, God, all the way? Not just a little bit, enough to make me feel better, but what's it going to take to really say, I'm going to be all God's? What's it going to take to face up to the fact that my stubborn will needs to be broken so that the will of God can be done? What's it going to take when it comes to the consequences of sin, the plagues, if you will, to finally get our attention, to know, you know what, this ain't worth it. I need God. What's it going to take to finally say, I'm done with this sin thing, whatever it is, whatever the addiction might be, whatever the direction of your life may be, what will it take to finally say, I'm done with that, I need God? We already talked about in the book of Exodus that between the end of Genesis and the first part of Exodus, there were over 400 years. Not all of those years were slavery, but a lot of those years at the end were slavery. And it took a while for the people of Israel to finally face up to that and recognize that they wanted and needed out. And so this morning, as we close this service, we want to give you an opportunity to pray if you feel like God's speaking to you and you know that God is, and you're saying, I need help. I need God's way out, not the one that I've tried to contrive, not the one I've tried to figure out on my own, but I need God to help me out of what I'm dealing with. Our team's going to come and lead us here in a moment, but as they come, let's pray. And if you know God's speaking to you today, don't let the moment pass by. Don't let your heart become hardened again by saying no to what you know God's talking to you about. Because I believe God does want to do something this morning in someone's life. And don't be embarrassed, because every one of us need God's help. There's not a one of us here that doesn't need God and doesn't understand the need to pray. and the need to ask for forgiveness, and the need to ask for God to come and set us free. We've been there, or we are there. And so as we allow these moments, let God come in, let him speak, and say yes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you do provide a way to set us free. Free from our self-centeredness, free from our sins, free from addictions and things that just latch hold of us. We recognize that sometimes there are a lot of obstacles along the way, and that it's not easy sometimes to be set free. But we know today that we will not be free unless we turn to you. Only you can truly set us free. And so, Lord, today, as you're speaking to our hearts through your word this day, I pray that you'll help us to say yes. Yes to what you want for us. For what you want is freedom. What you want is good. Help us to know that today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite you to stand.